אני אגיד, אני אומר, אז איפה?
מה נזמן?
תן לי שנייה חנית.
מה נזמן?
תשאי לי.
תמרנו, לדבר. פרשת וירח.
ספרנו?
פרשת וירח, this is a continuation of last week's parasha. If you find that, if you look back at the Maftir of last week's parasha, the chapter 5, sentence 22, says, Vayashov Moshe el Hashem v'yomar, Adonai, lama arot ala mazeh, lama zeh shlachtani. Moshe came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asked him, how come you doing still bad things to Am Yisrael, even though of course it means the Egyptians are doing it, but Moshe claims that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for that. And if you're going to ask me, what's my business? Lama zeh shelachtani, I told you I don't want to take the job. You forced me to take the job. Umeah, sentence 23, Bati al-Paro de Bishmecha, since I came to power to talk to power in your name, Ira Lamazed. Things got worse. Not only they got worse, that Tevetatat Amecha did not save your nation. So Moshe is complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the situation of Am Yisrael that got worse, and at the same time, he wants so-called to complain about his job. And Hashem answers him, ויאמר השם למשה, אתה תראה נאי גנזי אשר עושה לפרעה, you'll be able to see what I'm going to do to פרעה, the next two פרשיות, and then כי ביד חזקה ישלחם פרעה הבן שלי, will let them out. ביד חזקה ישלחם לעשות, he'll chase them out of his country. But in the same token, the Gemara says, הקדוש ברוך הוא hinted to Moshe, that now you're not going to be granted to go to Eretz Israel. Finished, you finished. Even though it doesn't say this in the Pasuk, but because it says the word Ata, now you will see, to exclude later. It means now already Moshe was hinted he's not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and eventually the Midrash says, the Gemara says, before Moshe dies, he calls up on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, well, I was very good through my life, and Hashem reminds him what had happened, that he said, that he, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this and he doesn't want the job, and that time on already I decided you're not going to go back to us, you're not going to go to us. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is midah keneged midah. It means like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have punishment. The purpose of punishment really are three reasons for punishment. The reason number one is the most important reason for punishment, it says in the Torah, is in order to grant the person the ability to walk into Olam Haba. As long as you have the punishment here, then you're not going to have the punishment there. As long as you have the punishment here, you'll be able to attend so-called the final destination. The second reason, less important for punishment, is because you deserve a punishment. You deserve punishment. Not because that this punishment is needed to grant you something for later. Here, right now, you did something that's not acceptable. You got to pay the fine, you got to pay the damage. This is something that you ought to pay because you did something wrong. And the third reason for punishment is for other people to see and not to do the same thing that you do. The Torah says, emphasize a few times, the man ish movi rao. It says when the person will get a punishment, the rest of the nation will see, you see what happened to that person, they will never do it. But the most important reason for a punishment is not because Hashem wants to punish us, or not because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants the rest of us to see what happened to the person. The most important thing they have to worry about Olam Haba. But again, the punishment usually is something that have to do with the sin, with the crime. Not as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a punishment, the same punishment for every crime. And every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something that's going to happen, it is because something wrong what did happen. For example, if you take the spies in Parashat Shlach, And Moshe sent the spies to look for, to see if Eretz Yisrael is good or not. And the spies came back and said, Eretz Yisrael is no good. So Am Yisrael said, oh, we don't want to go to Israel. We want to go back to Egypt. And he said, okay, your punishment is you're not going to go to Israel. So it makes sense. So the punishment ties into the crime. It's not that the punishment is just because Hashem wants to punish you. It has to do always, it's called midah keneged midah. Every punishment that Hashem does has to do something with the crime. It's not like Kadosh Baruch Hu just, you know, picked up a punishment and said, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. It has to do something with the crime. And says, here Moshe complains, he doesn't understand how come Am Yisrael suffers so much. And how come he took the job? Hashem says, you know what? You're not going to go to Israel. He said, what's the connection? What this has to do with Israel? I says, listen, if I complain, I shouldn't complain, so maybe what it means is something's going to happen to my mouth. Something is, I'm going to have a, you know, toothache, maybe something else that has to do with the complaint system. But this has nothing to do going to Israel. Israel has nothing to do. If Moshe would have said, listen, Hashem, how come I have to go to Israel? I don't want to go to Israel. She said, okay, you know what? You're not going to Israel. The punishment makes sense, because the sin complied with the punishment. But this punishment that Hashem says to him, he's not going to go to Israel. He says, why? Because I complained? Because I complained in America, I can't go back to Israel? I didn't complain about Israel. I complained about you. If you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, why are you doing it to your nation? He says, therefore I can't go to Israel? No connection. This, with your permission, this is Parashah, Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe Melav, Ani Adonai. So Rashi brings the Medrash to Gemara and says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. So-called in the entity, it's called Elohim, it's called Midat Hadin, it's called Judgment. This is what the name of Elohim means in the Torah. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, it says, I am God. I am God, but the Torah says, Ani Hashem, if you see it, that's the way it says in the Torah as well. It says, Yud Hei Vav and Hei. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, really, I was supposed now to do a very bad thing to you. The Medrash says that the minute that Moshe spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu last week and complained, Bikshami Datanim Nivgoa Bo, says that the Midrash, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu so-called, had to protect Moshe from certain angels that wanted to kill Moshe at the moment. Since Moshe did not complain about himself, he complained about the nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interfered and protected him and told the angels to stay away. It's true. It was disrespectful for Moshe to speak to me like this, but do not punish him right now because he did not complain for himself, he complained for the nation. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gemara talks to Moshe Rabbeinu harshly, the Vedaber Elokim and Moshe Hashem spoke to him with a very high tone, high voice. But I told him, listen Moshe, you don't understand what's going on. Ani Hashem, I'm HaKadosh. Erael Avraham and Yitzchak with Yaakov and Kershvatayin, near I did appear to Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov in the certain names that I have, but with Shmi Hashem and Adati, I might never appear to them in my real entity. The real entity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the name that we recognize, the way it says in the Torah most of the times in the Siddur as well, is the Yud, Hei, Bav, and Hei, and then Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov did not realize the power of that name. I don't know exactly what it means, but that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe when you listen. I have some complaints about you, that you are not behaving the way you should behave, because you know better, you should have known better, and you should not complain. This is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I ask you a question. The question was, how come they suffer so much? May I have an answer? There's no answer. Hashem doesn't answer him. Hashem only gives him so-called Musar. It is in Israel, Moshe, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are very good people, and they didn't even know me as well as you, and you know me better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was not the point. If I know you, I don't know you. I said, my point was that I did not want to take the job. And since I came to Paro, things got worse. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would like to know the reason why things got worse since I got to Paro. What did I do? Did I do anything wrong? Do I have this job for real? Or I'm just yet a toy, and since I came to power, things got worse. Hashem says, you know, you want something? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were very good. They didn't even know me, and you know me. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry. I do know you. I don't understand. I would like to have an explanation. If you don't want to give an explanation, say, you don't want to give an explanation, but you don't have to tell me. You see, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov knew me, and by different name, you know me, different name, and therefore what? וגם הקימותי ידמיתי איתם also, I'm going to tell you משה רבנו that I'm keeping the treaty that I made with Abraham יצחק וניעקות להם את הסכנה to give them the land. את ארץ מגורם אשר גרו בה. I promised them the land, I have to promise. As well, וגם אני שמעתי also, I'm telling you that I heard, נקפתי שם, השם צריך להגדים אותם. I heard the screaming by Skol Bitya, remember my treaty. Since I'm Israel, I'm screaming and suffering so much over there, then I remember my treaty. And otherwise, I wouldn't remember my treaty. And that's the reason that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convince Moshe. Moshe got a major problem. He said, since he came to power, things got worse. Hashem said, you know what? I remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I remember the treaty. I heard the suffering. Kadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me. You don't answer my question. My question was, Kadosh Baruch Hu, your honor, how come they're suffering more now than before? Since I came, things got worse. Hashem said, you know what? I'm going to keep the treaty. You know what? I heard the screaming. This was not my problem. My problem was that I am not qualified for the job. Why did you send me? So what this has to do with it, the screaming, and I heard them. לכן, אמור לבני ישראל, let me go, please, Hashem says, I swear to you, go to בני ישראל, tell them, אני Hashem, והוצאתי אתכם מתחת אלות מצרים, והוצאתי אתכם מעבודתם, take them out, from suffering, והצלתי אתכם מעבודתם, I'm going to save them, I'm going to save you from all this hard labor, והגלתי אתכם מזרוע המצרים, ושאתם קוראים, I'm going to redeem you, ולקחתי אתכם מלאם, I'm going to take you to my nation, נקרא לכם אלוקים, I'm going to take you. I said, Moshe Rabbeinu, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand all these statements now. I already heard from you last week that you wanted me to go, and I went. And my problem is that since I went, things got worse. So therefore, you're telling me, you go to the Israel, tell them, you know I'm God, and I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to save you, I'm going to, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since I went and I told them, things got worse. So now you're telling me you should go again to tell them that. That's not my problem. I would like to know why did you appoint me and why things got worse. Instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only doesn't answer him, gives him the same what we call in America, double talk, Chassid Shalom, and says, go back and tell them, I did tell them. I went last week, I told them everything, and then things got worse and they started to rebellion against me, they started to insult me. He says, I would like to know what happened. She said, you know, you go back, you tell them. Doesn't answer him. ודבר משה כן לבני ישראל, משה ואין, and the listen of course to הקדוש ברוך הוא, ואין, והמשרד said, listen, I met הקדוש ברוך הוא, and he told me, don't worry, everything will be okay. What do you think they will listen? ולא שמעו עם השם מקוץ הרוח מעבדה קשה, they don't listen. Of course they don't listen. ודבר השם, משה, למור sentence 11, בוא דבר פרו מחצה, משרד בני סמטו, he says, now you go to פרו. So Rashi said, it's the same thing that happened before, so the same message, that was last week, the same message now. Yeah, I don't know. Boy really means that Hashem is going with him. That's the door. It says left, it means go by yourself. And Boy means I'm coming with you. But in the beginning Hashem said to him, go. Okay, with your permission, if you skip to chapter 7, Sentence 7. It says in Moshe ben 80 Shana, if somebody is going to ask us, how old was Moshe when he went to speak to power? The Torah wants to teach you some kind, I don't know what it means exactly, but I don't know why you have to know it, but the Torah says, you know, Moshe was 80 and Aaron was 83, that Abraham lived near Pharaoh. It says, what's the significance? That you have to know how old was it. What difference does it make? How come the Torah doesn't tell you how old was Moshe when he left Egypt? How old was Moshe when he got to Yitro? Who cares how old is Moshe? If you won't tell me how old is Moshe, because Moshe is the Redeemer, Moshe is the Mashiach, Moshe is okay, I understand. Maybe you want to know something. But what do you have to know? How old is Aaron? What difference does it make how old is Aaron? What difference does it make? Doesn't make a difference. So then the Makot will start. The Makot will start if you skip to the second Makah with your permission. The second Makah is for the frogs. frogs. So if you skip to chapter 8, sentence 1, and it says, "Vayemer Hashem Moshe Emor El Aharon, Netet Yedcha B'Matecha." Hashem tells Moshe, "You know, go tell your brother Aharon that he should take the stick." Al Ha'Ne'arot, Al Ha'Yorim, Al Ha'Gamim, V'Aretz Ha'Lim Al Yisrael. Aaron should so-called hit the water. As well as it was the first plague, Makadam, if you look back at chapter 7, sentence 19, also it says, V'yomer Hashem Moshe Emor El Aharon Kach Matchal Teyatchal V'Mitzrayim, tell Aaron to go take the stick. And with the stick he should hit the water, and the water all over Mitzrayim will turn into blood. As well, in this second Makah it's called Tzadeya, frogs, also Aaron so-called, should take the stick and should hit. Came the Gemara and said, excuse me, why Aharon? Why not Moshe? I said, well, Moshe owes something to the water in Egypt. Moshe is not allowed to hit the water, because Moshe owes the water a favor. Since the water saved Moshe when Moshe was a little baby 8 years ago, and 80 years ago, when Moshe was a little baby, his mother put him in a box in the Teva, and she put it on the Nile, and so called the water saved Moshe. It's not really the same Moshe, I don't know what it means exactly, but since he was in the Teva, in the box on the Nile, and then the daughter of Pharaoh came and saw the box, so called the water helped you, so called the water helped you, therefore you, Moshe, you cannot take the stick and hit the water. Says the Gemara, it's like if you went to some place and you're very thirsty and you drank water from a well, don't throw a rock into the well. The well did you a favor, even though that you're upset about the well, about something, or you're not upset about it, you're upset about something else, it says don't throw a rock inside. It says since the water, so-called, helped Moshe Rabbeinu, you are not allowed to do it. Leave it alone. I said, what are we going to do? Excuse me, I have a solution for you, you know. Go tell your brother to do it. He should so-called be the bad boy. What is your partner to the crime? In America, is a partner to the crime. If you're not allowed to do something, you can send a messenger. You say, you know, you go rob a bank. You go rob a bank. I can't rob a bank. You know, I'm a rabbi. You go rob a bank. It's going to be okay for you. I says, I cannot, you know, it's not my dignity. You know, I cannot do this thing. You do it for me. That's a crime. He says, if Moshe is not allowed to so-called to hit, quote-unquote, the water, because Moshe owes a favor to the water. I don't understand exactly what it means to hit the water. The water, I don't know if the water feels any pain, but let's assume that the water feels something. So therefore Moshe cannot do it. So Moshe cannot do it, so he cannot tell his brother, no, you go do it because I cannot do it, you know. I cannot drive the car on Shabbat, so you be my Shabbat goy. You drive me. Either it's permitted or it's forbidden. If it's forbidden for you, you can't tell anybody, no, I owe a favor to the water, but you owe nothing to him. You had it. I says, what do you mean? If you owe him a favor, you have to protect him. This is especially not your brother to tell him, your brother, you go hit him. If you're not allowed to hit, your brother's not allowed to hit as well. It's a trick. There's something called a trick, it's called Shabbat concert. I don't know if you know what it means. Somebody said over here in America, was, I don't know, it's before you were born probably, it was a bath and chocolate. Well, you were born already, yeah. Bath and chocolate. Still heavy. Bath and chocolate belongs to an Orthodox Jew. Orthodox Jew, so on Broadway, remember I came to America, so it was before the World Trade Center, the Zichrono Livracha. So they want to show me Manhattan. What are they going to show me Manhattan? They show me bath and chocolate. I came from Israel. We didn't know, we hardly had cocoa. They said, bath and chocolate. You go to that store, you see how many chocolate they have. So he had a chain store, bath and chocolate. Since he had them on Broadway and 7th Avenue and very important, you know, Rockefeller Center, very, very fancy stores, nice stores. But he said he wants to open on Shabbat. He wants to open on Shabbat. Like the Jew, it was an Orthodox Jew, it was really Orthodox Jew, so, you know, we have to find, you know, a way, what we call a hole in the loop, you know, that, you know, to open the store on Shabbat. So he went to Rabban Kotler, was on Shivat Lekut, and he said, well, you know, I have a business, And most of the people buy chocolate on Shabbat. And it's not only on Shabbat, it's Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and in America, the Goyim, you know. So I have to open the Shabbat. He says, what should I do? He says, I heard if you take a partner, a Goy, and so-called, you rent the store to him on Shabbat, and he works on Shabbat, but you charge him rent up to his ears. You see, you know, the rent on Shabbat is $1 million. And of course, his head will be 5,000. So every Sunday you say, no, where's the rent? I says, what do you mean the rent? How can I pay you $250,000 for Shabbat? He says, so okay, so what do you want to give me? I says, give me 5,000. Okay, how much you sold? He says, I sold it at 10,000. I says, okay, so you know what? Give me for the rent 5,000, and you know, I'll give you a bonus, 3,000. Okay, we'll see you next Shabbat. Let's hope next Shabbat we'll be able to pay $250,000 for the Shabbat. Let's call a star, let's call a certificate, a legitimate blood certificate. But you know, you're working on God. You know, Hashem said not to work on Shabbat, and you know how to arrange it. So Abraham Kotler told this man from Boston Chokhan, he says, listen, if you're not allowed to do it, if God knows it, God would have written in Shabbat. You know, go have Carlos or what's his name, whatever you have. And the Torah will tell you on the side, Rashi will say, okay, it says, Shamo et Yom HaShabbat Lekacho, and it says, by the way, you can find some hole in the loop, and the chain, you can find some things to find out how to go about Shabbat. You know, to keep Shabbat, you know, we can arrange certain things you can do on Shabbat. But Hashem did not write it in the Torah, and what you're planning to do is wrong, totally wrong. You're trying to cheat God. Don't do it. So what should I do? He says, close the stores. As long as it's my business, that's my problem. I shouldn't go to yeshiva. He left, of course, and he went bankrupt.
You what?
He went bankrupt. Chapter 11. If it's forbidden, it's forbidden. It's no tricks. And if it's forbidden for Moshe to heat the water, you can't tell Aaron, you know, you heat the water. I cannot heat the water. If it's forbidden, forbidden. If the water did a favor to you, and if somebody did a favor to you, and now you want to so-called to hurt him, I cannot hurt him. I hire a hitman in America called Gambino Castellano. He says, you know, for $100,000, he'll do anything you want for him. He says, if you owe the guy a favor, you can't call anybody to do this guy harm. It's a crime. And here Hashem says, Moshe, listen, tell Aaron, he should hit. What do you mean he should hit? Shall I hit? No, you can't. So my brother can't? And if you skip to chapter 8 with your permission, to sentence 4. And all the frogs came all over Mitzrayim. The Torah says, Vayikra Paro l'Moshe ul'Aaron v'yomer atiru l'Hashem. So Paro calls Moshe now and says, please go beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get rid of the frogs. But of course, Vashalcha et Amis b'chul Hashem, I'm going to let the nation go. Yizbechu l'Hashem. They're going to sacrifice to Hashem. If you remember last week, Hashem told Moshe, they should go tell Paro, listen, we want the nation to go out and sacrifice. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand you. Excuse me, I ask you this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what really is the purpose of my mission? To take them out. We're going back to Israel, right? He says, why shall I tell Paro that we have to go and sacrifice? Let me go to Paro. He says, Shalom, Paro. Boker Tov. My name is Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm coming here to get a release from you to get my people going. We're going to Israel. Goodbye. We owe you nothing. We're just working for nothing here. Just slave. You have no right to hold us here. And by the way, and maybe it's most important, Hashem sent me over here. And that's the end of the discussion. We don't have to come to partition. Hashem said we should go and we should pray and sacrifice. This is what he said, sacrifice. Tell him the truth. Nobody is praying to sacrifice. They're praying to go to Israel. So tell him that. What are you afraid of him? Tell him, go to Israel. No, you're going to sacrifice. Here Paro comes, sentence 4. It says, you know what? Get the frogs away from me. I'm going to send the nation. Let them go sacrifice. We'll sacrifice them. We'll sacrifice. We want to go to Israel. We don't want to sacrifice. Then Paro then Moshe has found them. Where do you want me to pray? It says, tomorrow, fine. Sentence 8, it says, chapter 8, sentence 8, says, so Moshe is screaming, says, Ari, you know, it's not Moshe, he's just praying to Hashem, he's saying, you know, one shela ma'alot. Moshe is screaming, Tzaka, It is stuck libam el Hashem from his heart. He's asking Hashem, please, please, get rid of the frog. He says, Moshe, excuse me, it's not your business. I didn't tell you to get away the frog. I didn't ask you to pray for me. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. As what Paul said, he's going to let the people go. Let them pack up the suitcases. Let them go to Kennedy Airport. Let them board the plane. When the plane will be behind so-called the borders of America and they have enough fuel, then over there, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take the frogs away. It says, Moshe has to scream and pray. Hashem says, it's not your business. Why are you praying? Why are you screaming for Hashem? For what? For what are you screaming for him? Who is this guy? Oh, Hitler. Hitler! Hitler's head is going to let us go. But where are we going to go? And Hashem will take care of it. If Hashem will see the frogs, he will take. Maybe he wants to leave the frogs over there for the rest of the world. Who knows? What's your business that you're screaming to Hashem, that you want Hashem to get rid of the frogs? It's not your business. It's not your business. By the way, Moshe, if you're so kind and so has so mercy, how come you don't pray for Am Yisrael that suffer so much? Well, it's true. Let's look for Hashem. Rabotai, the Torah says, Vayigdal Moshe Vayitzeh Lecha Vayar Vayitzeh Lecha Vayitzeh B'Sivlotai. The Torah says, Moshe grew up as a Christian. How old he was? 12, 20. It says he goes outside and he sees Am Yisrael carrying bricks. So what does he do? He goes and also so-called put a hand. He helps them with the bricks, carrying the bricks. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray to Hashem that Hashem should help them, Hashem should save them? Instead to complain to Hashem, why don't you pray? He says, here he's praying. For who? For power. Let him have the frogs. What's your business that you're begging Hashem with all your strength? And he says, Vayitzak Moshe. That we find it one more time when Miriam had a tarat, we find it Moshe screamed to Hashem, help, help Miriam. So why you have to help? Leave him alone. It's not the business. Paul calls Moshe, says, Moshe, get rid of the frogs. Moshe said, okay, we'll get rid of the frogs. We need a visa. Right now we're leaving. We're going to Israel. Goodbye. After the FM reply, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take the frogs, no, if not, Paul, you know what? You call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, send him an email. It's nothing to do with me. I came in the name of God. It says, did Hashem tell you to pray for him? What are you doing? Nothing. The same Makar Rabotai, if you skip to chapter 8, sentence 12, it's the next Makar, it's called Light, Kinim, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Amor El Aharon, Me'al Shem Chavot Afavati, the Kinim, Cholas Mitzrayim. Then the Gemara says the same story. As Hashem told Moshe, go tell Aharon to hit the ground. It says, what about me? He says, you cannot hit the ground. He says, why? He says, because the soil, the ground, earth, did a favor to you. Remember when you killed the Egyptian person, you buried him in the sand, so-called the sand helped you. Even though the sons of Iran was standing by and eventually they told power that Moshe killed the Egyptian, it doesn't matter. On that moment you thought that the sand helped you. So therefore you owe a favor to the sand, to the soil, to the ground. And says, so what are you going to do? He says, tell your brother to hit. If I'm not allowed to hit, I can't ask my brother to hit. It's the same thing. It's a crime. It's a crime. It's worse. He says, and you're taking somebody, he says, you know, you go do a bad thing, I cannot do it. If you cannot do it, the same question on Diamond Sadea or life. Okay, fine. The next Makar is Aharon, with your permission. It says, this is chapter 8, sentence 16. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Eshkim Baboker. It yaseh libnei Pharo, v'inim yaseh ben adam, kumar Hashem shalach v'yedin, ki lachas v'atmin, yim ashleh v'chish chav, v'chadecha v'amcha, v'atecha t'yarov. It says, Moshe, is telling power, if you don't let Am Yisrael go, tomorrow morning you have the blank zoo all over Mitzrayim. All over Egypt can there be animals, and the Medrash says it's not just that they didn't take a tour, it's not the animals just walked over there like in the blank zoo, they actually ate people up. They're walking on the street, says the Gemara, says the Midrash, the Goyim, the Egyptians understood what's going on, all of a sudden they saw coming animals from nowhere. So they ran to Goshen, to the place of the Jews, and they said they want to do business with the Jews, they want to be friendly with the Jews, they want to learn with them all kinds of books, and the animal used to come, and ate them while they were talking to the Jews. And the Jew was left alone, and the Egyptians were eaten up. So it's a very dangerous thing, okay? So it's a very nice, I would have hoped at that moment power would get a message. Chapter 20, sentence 21, with your permission, may drop all Moshe Aharon, may the world come out again. God says, okay, go sacrifice. Moshe says, no, we can't sacrifice here, we have to go sacrifice in the desert, census 23, he says, I don't understand the whole thing. You don't have to sacrifice, it's a lie. You're going to Israel. Why don't you tell it to him? Are you afraid of Pharaoh? It's Hashem, Hashem sends you. Let Moshe tell Pharaoh the truth. We're not going to sacrifice, we're going to Israel. So Pharaoh back and forth, and forget about it. Okay, I'm going to let you go. So what are you supposed to do? The sentence 26, it says, Ve'etzeh Moshe mi'im Paro ve'yetar el Hashem, says the Gemara, that Moshe comes out of Paro. So he made a deal with him. So you made a deal with him. He says, who told you to make a deal with him? Hashem never told you to make a deal with him. Hashem told you, just go and tell Paro, animals are coming. Okay? Paro says, I don't know what to do. He says, Moshe is on Paro. Why don't you speak to God directly? He says, he brought the you know, I didn't bring no animals here. Hashem sent the animals. He says, talk to Hashem to take it away. Instead it says, Vayetar el Hashem, it says, Moshe goes outside and so-called praying very hard. Vayetar, Rashi says, the Gemara says, Itamit. Says, with all his strength he's praying to Hashem. He says, leave Hashem alone. What do you want from Hashem? Hashem sent you to warn power. Hashem did not send you to be a lawyer for power. Why are you becoming a lawyer for power? The man is an animal. He says, all of Israel suffered. He says, let him suffer now. If you have some kind of mercy, tell him to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you are praying for power to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not just praying. But your heart, says the Gemara, with all his heart is praying seriously. Next one, if you skip with your permission to the end of the parasha, this is Makat Barad, it's the hail. It's also very striking and powerful Makar. So if you end the chapter 9, sentence 27, וישלח פרעה ויקרא למשה ולאהרן אל מלאכי וחטאתי הפעם, השם הצדיק ואני ועמי הרשעים, עתירו אל השם. He says, please, beg God, you know, enough, I can't take it. So many people got killed over there with the hail and animals and the whole Mitzrayim is destroyed. I'm sending you away. So Moshe says, sentence 29, I mean, you have experience already. You see, the man is a liar. He says, you can't even trust him. That's his dam, Sodea, Kinim, Arov, Dever, Shrin, already. And number six times, the man, you can't trust him. He says, enough is enough. He says, you know, you're a naive person. The man said, I'm sending them away. He says, listen, Paul, may I ask you a question? You promised already four times at least that you're going to let them go. You didn't, you know. You have no credit. Credit is gone. I don't believe you want it. But you want to deliver, another delivery, you send the guy. He never pays the bill. I mean, how many times you can be naive, send a customer, and the customer says the check is in the mail. Check is in the mail, check is in the mail. It says five times, six times, check is in the mail. It says no mail. They're going to send him more merchandise. I says, Paolo said I'm going to send them. He says, you want to know something? Paolo, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't trust you no more. Forget about it. Again, you send them after they be behind the borders of America, of Egypt, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want, now let the hands continue. Why do you have to stop it? You don't have to stop it. Not only he is going to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sentence 29, it tells Paul, you know what, when I go outside, I'm going to raise my palms to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he says that's the biggest thing that when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's in generations before, that's how they used to pray. They all used to pray with their hands like this. They even went to Iran, to Paras. That's the way they pray. The whole shul is standing like this. Because Ari says the prayer goes from your mouth via your hands to Bet HaMikdash. That's a very powerful and dangerous as well to hold your hands like this. The reason why we don't hold the hands like this when we pray, because the Gemara says based on the Pasuki, Dechem Damim Aleu, that the palms have to be very pure and clean. If Chas V'Shalom somebody owes somebody something, then the prayer doesn't go. It says you can pray all your life. But if you owe something, you borrowed money, you're not paying to pay it back. Or Chas V'Shalom, you took money even though the money that you took was not on purpose. You know, on purpose you have somebody else's money. The tefillah doesn't go. Because the tefillah has to go via your palm, and your palms have to be very pure. So you pray, you can get up and pray all day long, This is tefillah, get stuck here. It says it has to go via your fingers, via your palm, into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, this so-called, this is called the fedex. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your palm. But your palm is only the clean and pure. The Gemara says, Yidechem damim maleu, that's the Mashmas HaChamim says, it means, Chas Shalom, the Gemara says, the Kohen that killed the person, he cannot go to the Dukhan and give Berkat Kohanim. Because the Bracha of the Kohen also goes via his fingers. And this the Gemara says, you're not allowed to look in the Kohanim, because the Shekhinah is on the fingers of the Kohanim. It says, oh, no, it's not the Shekhinah, just the Shekhinah. It says, it's always the prayers and the blessing goes, they go via your fingers. And you know, this is what really ordained, people used to ordain, they had to put a hand on the person to become a rabbi. It says, because the blessing, what you're ordaining, is going via your fingers. I said, the fingers are very important, very important. You can check on your fingers also, as it says, you can see on your fingers if the tefillah goes. And after you finish Monessa, you can look at your fingers if you have good glasses. Then you can see if the tefillah went or the tefillah got stuck here. And it says, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pray, the first time that Moshe says he's going to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his hands like this. It says, this is the Ramban says that's the highest, if I would say, act of praying if you raise your hands and hold them like this. Again, Ramban says, but it's very dangerous if you hold it too long. Ramban says, if you hold it for over 3 hours, something can happen to you. Ilam Alek.
Happen to who?
To the person. You can't hold it too much like this. So up to 3 hours, says the Ramban, is permitted. More than 3 hours, even Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to hold it. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to put his hands down all the time, not to hold it more than 3 hours like this. It's very powerful for this tefillah again, but you have to go to mikveh, you have to make sure that you don't owe anybody money, you don't have any money that belongs to you. I told you the story about this guy in Tzfat on his head, no? Balanti, no? In Tam of Ari, was the person, his name was Moshe, I think his name was Moshe Galanti, was one of the students of the Ari. He had in Tzfat, 400 years ago, two factories, and each factory had 400 workers. But one factory only men was working, and one factory was only ladies. This is how the tenut was 400 years in Tzfat. And he had a sewing operation. One time he goes on the street, Ari meets him on the street. Ari meets him on the street, he said, hey, Moshe Galanti, Mazal Tov, you became a thief. He says, me a thief? He says, yes. He says, on your forehead, it says Gimel from Galanti, but the Gimel on your forehead is like it says, what do you call it, Toys R Us, you know, the R is Bedford, you know. No, the Gimel is like Toys R Us, it's Bedford on your forehead. He says, don't tell me anything, you stole money. He says, me stealing money? He says, check it out. He says, well, how did you steal money? He says, what do you say? He says, I had a sewing operation. He says, go find out. Maybe you stole, I don't know. You delivered goods, you know, from with different label, you know. He says, made in China, it's from Italy. Or made in Italy, it's from China. You know, I don't know. You know, today is the labor business. You know, you never know. Quotas, I don't know what to say. Anyway, this guy, Moshe Galanti, I had it from Abel Lupian in the yeshiva 40 years ago. So this guy, so Moshe Galanti, goes to the factory with the workers are, and he asks them, do I owe anybody money here? So no, you paid us. Everybody got the check, paid. He goes to the lady's side, and he asks the lady, do I owe anybody money here? So one lady stood up and says, yeah, you owe me money. And how come I owe you money? Come on, I owe you money. He says, because I worked overtime. This is before the union, you know. Today is three times. It's before the union time. He says, I worked overtime, I stayed longer, and you paid the hour, and you didn't pay me. So Moshe Galanti asked me, did you ever tell me that I owe you money? He says, no, I didn't tell you. I didn't, you're so busy. I didn't have a chance to tell you that I worked overtime. He says, how much you worked? And she said, how much, half an hour, I don't know if they know, maybe I don't remember. He paid her. He goes outside, he goes on the street, he meets Ari. Ari said, no, he paid, huh? Now it says galanti, the right way. Not, no more toys ahas. It says the gimel is straight. You paid, right? So when we say, what do you mean that straight? That is giving money if you tell someone. If you owe anybody money, even if you don't know, you owe the money, you owe the money. You can't go to Gan Eden for this. This is going to stop you in Gan Eden. At the gate of Gan Eden, it says, sir, you owe somebody $5. For this, you have to go back. Of Chaim Volozhin, 200 years ago, he had a yeshiva in Volozhin. And one boy died in yeshiva. One day, Chaim Volozhin goes to his room, he sees the dead boy walking in the hallway. Chaim Volozhin. A lot of story of dead people walking on the street. He asked the boy, what are you doing here? He says, I can't go to Gan Eden. So what happened? He said, when I was learning yeshiva, I borrowed from somebody money. But I gave the money back, but not directly to him. I gave it to somebody, and that somebody never delivered the money, the ruble, whatever it was. He don't let me to Gan Eden. So I'm here to beg you to go and take care of it. To tell this boy the money I gave him before I died, to deliver it to the man I owe the money, because I can't go to Gan Eden. You can't pick up your hands and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your hands up if your hands are not 100% clean. Better off you don't do it. Better off you don't do it. If you do it, might be backfire. So yeah, that's Moshe, that's the talk is. Moshe is not only going to pray now for the hail to stop, he's going so-called to do the biggest act in the world that his prayer should go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, what you do is he's going to go outside, he's going to raise his hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Ahir says one more step. The Ahir says not only this is powerful, it says the Satan has a wife. It's four wives, really. One is very... Talk about this one. So one of them is his real wife. That's the one with the jewelry, you know. That's this one good wife, so-called, to the Satan, to Malach HaMaret. That Lamed Yud tough, yeah. But when the Satan comes with his wife to do a job, he cannot survive. Malach HaMavet comes, he wants to kill somebody. If it's just one guy, you know, you can pray, you can do certain things. But if he comes, sometimes he comes with his wife. When he comes with his wife, he can do nothing. He says, but you can do one thing. He says, there's one word that so-called separates them, that he loses her. He says, where are you, my wife? Where are you? Well, she's in Macy's. He says, how'd you get to Macy's? And he says, there's one word that you say that separates them. The word that you say is kapai. Half pay yud. The letters half pay yud separates Satan from his wife. Kapai means palm. So actually, when you raise your palm, it's not just that you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're so-called separating the Satan, the evil part, with, from his wife, that he cannot do the job. So of course, the hail and everything, all the bad things that come, it doesn't come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from the system that's called the evil part. It says, now Moshe is going to stop the hail. It says, you can't stop the hail so much. It says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise my hand. So you know actually what you do, says Dari. Not just that you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this, if you like, he's going to go via your palms. Actually what you do, you're building a wall between the Satan and his wife. Can you imagine how angry is the Satan that he loses his wife? He says, where's my wife? He says, there's a wall between them. And what's the wall? Your palm. He says, Moshe, why are you putting yourself in danger? For what you're doing this? For power you're praying? For what you're doing? You owe him nothing. He says, the man has no credit. Let him suffer. Let him hail. Let a brick will hit his head and let him die. You worry about it. You have to go outside and fight with Abel Paz, praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, raising your hand. Please, God Almighty, let's stop the hail. Don't stop the hail. With your permission, I just want to go to Lesson Parashah for a minute, with your permission. This is chapter 1. The two midwives, one opinion, and that's what the Chachamim think that this is the right thing, because those are the two, maybe they were the managers of the midwives, maybe they were able to do so many births, we don't know, but that's what Pamo does, he calls the two midwives. When you help the ladies to give birth, you see if in Ben Ramatel to Matiba Chaya, if it's a son, if it's a boy, kill him, if it's a daughter, let her leave, but they didn't do it. And Kara returns the Ben Ramatel to Matiba Chaya, the Ben Ramatel says, why didn't you do it? The Jewish ladies are like animals, they give birth before EMS comes. Usually EMS comes after the funeral. But here, they tell Paul, listen, the Jewish ladies, they give birth just when they are calling Hatala. Before Hatala comes, they already gave birth Mazal Tov. This is why, this is like animals. Comes the Gemara sentence from Antiman and tells you like this. Since Yocheved and Miriam did not kill the children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give them houses. Comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean houses? The Gemara, Bateku now Leviyam Yocheved Umalchut Memoriam. Somebody is going to ask you, what Zechut Yocheved had to have Moshe and Aaron? So the answer is, she did not kill the babies. Comes the Gemara and tells you and continues, says, you want to know something? The mother of the kingdom of Am Israel is Miriam. That says, this girl, when she was 5 years old, she was 4 and a half, she was 4, she helped her mommy to deliver children, and she did not listen to power to kill the babies. Therefore, Hashem will grant this girl Miriam, she's going to marry Caleb ben Yefuneh, eventually David HaMelech comes from Miriam. This is what is really the reward has to do with Kohen Levi and the kingdom to come from them because they did not kill the children. Chapter 2, with your permission, where Elish sentence from Elish Mitter Yerkhaf and Levi, says, Amram went to marry Yocheved, but Tara Yishot Yerkhaf and Levi, says, Amram went to marry she gave birth to Moshe after 3 months of Chodot Tfilah. The Egyptians found out that Yocheved got married, they counted, and they came to the house, they're looking for the baby. Came to the house and she said, I lost the baby, he died, no. ותיקח לו תיבת גונת הכנרה והחמה ובת זפת, בצצים, בת הילד, לצוף עשו בשפת היום. So Yocheved takes the box, fairly very big box of the midrash, that Yocheved put in the box, the chupa of Moshe. So called she kissed him goodbye, he's 3 months old, and she made a very, very big box. In the box she put Moshe's chupa. It says if Moshe is going to get married, and the rabbi will not have a chupa, and says, here's the chuppah. I says, excuse me, what do you expect? Moshe to come out of the box and carrying the chuppah? I says, in America, it's the biggest crime. You can't leave your child 5 minutes outside the supermarket. The police comes and takes the baby, and you're going to be put in jail. Any girl, any lady will come to the rabbi and ask the rabbi, listen, the police looking for my son, he's 3 months old. May I take him, put him in the box, put him on the water, on the Hudson. At least you go to jail just for the question. Well, in Harlem it's permitted. Even to put him in garbage can. But according to the law, especially Jewish law, the boy is 3 months old. At least, you know, if you put, you know, pipes in his veins, they know supplying food for other, just you put him in the box. What do you have in mind? What do you have in mind? What do you have in mind? If you put him in the box, what do you have in mind? What do you have in mind? He didn't even have a bottle in his mouth. He was hungry. Half an hour more, he would have been dead. I said, what is the idea behind this? Since the Torah, but then the daughter of Pharaoh, Batya, came down to the Nile, she wants to convert, she wants to dip herself in the water, for another reason maybe. But then she sees the box, she opened the box, he's crying. I says, what's going on? So the Torah says that Miriam was standing by, sentence 4, but it's that Tzabah Chotomei Chokidah Miriam is standing to see what's going to be. Okay? comes the Gemara and tells us that in Parashat Balotcha, after Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to lock up Miriam for 7 days, lock her up. I said, what's going to happen if she's in the desert? Says the Gemara, the Torah says, V'am lo nasa adeas et Miriam. It says, the whole nation, millions of people in the summertime, standing, holding the hands in the desert. He says, what are we waiting for? He says, where Miriam was punished. He spoke Lashon Hara, so Hashem said to lock her, in a locker for 7 days, and we're waiting for her. I said, why are you waiting for her? He says, because she waited here. So you remember, 82 years ago, when Moshe was born, she was standing to see what is going to happen to Moshe. So because she waited to see what happened to Moshe, now we're going to wait for her for 7 days. The first 7 days, maybe she waited 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. We don't know how long it took from the time Yochevet put him on the Nile to the time that Batyak said. It's irrelevant, even an hour, even 2 hours. Okay, the girl was a nice girl. She wanted to see what's going to happen to her brother. I said, what this has to do that all of Israel, millions of people, have to stand now and wait in the desert because she waited. Why? She waited because she was going to meet her brother. For this, you have to hold back on Israel for 7 days. So if you remember, the Ari says like this. The word Neshama's abbreviation, Noach Shet Moshe Hev. And Ari says, after Am Yisrael did the golden calf, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please forgive them, if not, erase my name from the Torah, and he uses the word Mecheni, Mecheni. So Ari, the word Mecheni is two words, Mei Noach. It says that Moshe is here, and he understands something. What is obligation here on this world? It says, Noach, says the Gemara, lo hitalel al bnei doro. So when Hashem told Noach, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Noach and says to Noach, listen, Noach, I'm going in 120 years to destroy the world. Noach said, okay, Chazak Baruch. Instead, to start praying for the sinners. It says the reason why Noach does it, Darius says, is because Noach, so-called, is going on the path of Cain. Cain does not believe in prayers. It says, Cain says, listen, if you deserve it, Hashem will give it to you. You don't deserve it, even if you pray, Hashem will give it to you. You don't deserve it. Forget about it. It says, Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to teach him a lesson. It says, you got to pray. He never prayed. Never prayed. He died. His name was erased from the history. Like Cain's name was erased from the history. It says, you didn't pray. Comes the Ramban, and then Rabbi Lubachai stood there and says like this. That's amazing. Amazing story. And Moshe is arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't want to take the job. He says, listen, Hashem, I can't speak, you know. I stutter. I don't say the words nice. I can't be a speaker of the house. And Hashem said, you know, go. So the Ramban, any student from Mechaya, says, well, why Moshe does not pray? Why Hashem does not heal Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem is sending Moshe to speak to Paro. Let Hashem heal him. Says the Ramban, Rabbeinu Mechaya, because Moshe did not pray to Hashem to heal him. So let me explain to you, says the Ari, like this. Moshe stutters. Why Moshe stutters? I says, because when Moshe was 2 years old, he was sitting on Paro's lap. And all of a sudden he took the crown of Paro and put it on his head. Bilam was sitting by, and Bilam told Paro, aha, see, this boy is going to be the new president of Egypt. Better kill him. Says the Gemara, says the Midrash, Eliyahu Navi dived down from upstairs, got dressed like one of the ministers of Paro, and told Paro, listen, this possibility is true, but maybe this boy, 2 years old, doesn't know what's going on. Take two plates, in one plate you put gold coins, in one plate you put some coals, and let's see if the baby is going to take the coals in his hands, and it means the baby has no idea what he's doing. But if he's going to take the gold coins, it means he knows what coins means, he knows what your crown is, it's dangerous for the nation, kill him. So of course, everybody knows the story. Then the power ordered and commanded immediately to bring two plates, one with gold, one with coals, And Moshe was, so called, the Medrash says, stretching his head and his hand to take the coin, and the other he went and pushed his hand to take the coin. So Moshe is having a hot coin in his hand. So what should be a reaction if somebody has a hot thing in his hand? Throw it out on the floor. Instead, Moshe takes it and puts it in his mouth. And everybody, Bilam and Power said, ah, it's true, it's true. Moshe is not gonna, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. Of course he doesn't know what to do. The man is an idiot, if we say the matter. He's an idiot. He says, you have something hot in your hand, it's burning you at the coal. He says, you can put it in your mouth. You throw it on the floor. So now he sees me. So what's the idea over here that Moshe puts, understand, the angel, I don't understand the whole thing, but now the other he wants to save Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is in danger, Power might kill him. I said, okay, fine. I said, what's the idea that Moshe puts in his mouth? I said, Moshe puts it in his mouth is to teach Moshe something. You hang on this world to do something that in the time before you were here you did not do. The time before you did not use your mouth. You should have prayed to HaKadosh Baruch. The Ramban, and the Zohar, and Rashi, and the Gemara, they all say, if somebody is going to ask you, why do you have a mouth? It's not just to have pita. The main reason is to pray to HaKadosh Baruch. That's HaKadosh Baruch who gave us a mouth. And whoever doesn't pray, Chas v'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch takes so-called his life away. Like if you remember, it happened to Nabot HaYisraeli, that since he did not want to sing, HaKadosh Baruch killed him. This is your mouth, the Ramban says, the Zohar, Ari, says, is from HaKadosh Baruch a present for you that you can pray to HaKadosh Baruch. This is, you, Mr. Noach, do not pray. He comes with little Noach, Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch will teach him a lesson right away when 2 years old. And he can take the cord, he's going to put it in his mouth, he's going to stutter. He says, this is because you did not pray. Still he doesn't pray. Still says Rabbeinu Bachayeh, Moshe doesn't pray. He says, if he would have prayed to Hashem, Hashem would have healed him. His stutters, not only his stutters. When he goes outside with about 20 or 12 machlokes in the Midrash, how old was Moshe, when he came outside and he saw Israel suffering, he goes, he helps them. He says, let me help you carry the bricks. He says, Moshe, why don't you stay outside and see something in him for them? He doesn't pray. Oh, you don't pray? Okay. Since I like this, the power of Miriam. Don't think the Medrash says Miriam is standing by with the binoculars to see what's going to happen to Moshe. Wrong. Miriam wants to see what is going to be to the Mashiach. The marriage that did happen between Amram and Yocheved and produced that little baby Moshe was the advice of Miriam. And the advice was, if you get back to mommy, you might have a boy that he will be the Mashiach. When the Egyptian people came into the house and they wanted to look for Moshe, Amram went to his daughter Miriam and says, no, what can we do prophecy? Says, Ari, Miriam is not standing by the Nile and looking, what's going to be? No, she is going to see what's going to be with the person that's supposed to Imam Israel. So the Midrash, you know what she's doing? She's standing, praying and crying. That's what she's doing. She's not just in school, you know, Rabbanek. She's not looking what's going to be. She's praying, Lady Amaya, Theros of the Midrash, she's praying with her mouth. So she, because she prayed with her mouth, therefore Bateva Power happened to come and open the box. The same concept says that is your heaven. That's not my baby. It's Hashem's baby. I got back to my husband and we got the baby boy because my daughter told me you might have Mashiach. When you get married, says Dari, the purpose of your marriage is you should have a child which might be the Mashiach. It's not I want to have a child, the child should help in my business. It says Hana Imenu was 130 years old, the same like you have it when she had Shmuel. And when Shmuel was 2 years old, Hannah took him to Shiloh, to the Mishkan, and brought him over there, and she gave him to the Kohen Gadol Eli at the time and says, keep him. And says, what's the matter with you, lady? 130 years you didn't have a child. Finally you got a child. Don't you want to have him in this house? in your house. Don't you have it, you want to have him under your apron? He says, it's not my son. His name is Shmuel, Shaul Rashim. It's not my baby. It's Hashem's baby. And says, Zari, your Heved, when she puts Moshe on the Nile, it is nothing will happen to him. Because it's not my child. It's Hashem's child. That's the Mashiach. It says, if Hashem wants, Hashem will keep him. Hashem doesn't want, Hashem doesn't keep him. Hannah said to Eli, this is the boy I brought to you. This is the one Hashem gave it to me. Not for my sake. It's Hashem's baby. How can you kill him? How can you do harm to him? He says, this is what the Torah wants to teach us. What is this? The hope that we have, Aharon and Moshe, and we have David HaMelech for Miriam. He says, this is because the prayers of Miriam, so the Midrash, when she went to deliver babies, she didn't just stand over there and help her mother. She used to stand and pray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Midrash, sometimes the children come out missing a hand, missing a foot, something that is, the child is 100%. Before the child came out, Miriam was praying for her. It says, when your heaven, when she went as a midwife to help the mother to give birth, is not the matter of the baby. I deliver a soul, that that soul might be the Mashiach. Says that Moshe got the message very well. It's a very expensive Moshe. Abraham Avinu, when he was promised by Kadosh Baruch Hu something, he so-called damaged his mouth by asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu a question. How shall I know? For this question we went down to Egypt for 400 years. It is now time for redemption. Come so-called the head of the nation, the replacement of Abraham Avinu, and does the same mistake. He says, well, how come? The most, what do you mean, how come? But your grandfather asked the same question. The punishment was 400 years. 400 years what? If you get out of Israel, you go to exile. I says, you, Moshe, because you asked me, you're never going to go back to Israel. Because you understand, you're in the same exact path, the same thing as your grandfather. Your grandfather did the same thing. He asked me a question, not in the right place. You don't ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how shall I know? How come? He says, it's not Moshe. It is Abraham Avinu. That's the cause that Moshe is asking. The punishment that the Kadosh Baruch Hu said is going to happen to Abraham's children, if you're going to go out of Israel, you're going to be in exile. Hashem says, Moshe, you know what? You're never going to go back to Israel. You're going to stay over here. By the way, Moshe, you don't understand. Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov did comply with me, even though they didn't even know me. You don't even know me better. How come you talk to me like that? He says, Moshe never prayed. And Hashem is talking to him and says, Moshe, go, go, go. Go. Okay, Moshe, I'm going. Says the Torah like this. Let me explain to you something. Moshe Rabbeinu is 80 years old. Number 80 is not the first number. Number 80 is made from two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two tough names. One is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. That's the way we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is not the best, easiest name. And the next, this numerical value is 65. And there's another very tough name, is a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two letters, is Yud and Hei. And it says like Oziv and Zimratia. Yud and Hei is the name of Hashem. The numerical value is 15, together is 80. So I'm saying, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to power. It is going to power so-called with toughness. He goes to power and says, I'm going to show it. I says, how do you go? He says, my name is 80. 80 is tough. And he says, Aaron is 83. 83 is made from two names of kindness. One is called Kael, Aleph, Lamed, the metric value is 31. 2 times 31 is 62. Plus another 21 is Aleph, Hey, Yud, and Hey. This is what Hashem tells Moshe, let's dig that to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 83. So I want to tell you the difference between Moshe and Aaron. Aaron is very kind, and Moshe becomes a Levi, and the Zohar says Levi is very tough. I said, so I said, you go to power, let me tell you something, Moshe, you cannot do the job. You know, you don't hit the Nile, don't hit the ground. Because when you hit, you very tough. The Zohar says in Metamikdash, most of the people that slaughter animals were Levim. The Kohanim could not hold a knife in their hand. The Mashiach will come, the Levim also will be Kohanim. But in the time of Metamikdash, a Levi is a tough person. A coin is a very soft person. he can't find a butcher, a kohen, but he can find a butcher, a levi. I don't mean you. It says, you excluded. It says the Zohar in Beit HaMikdash only Leviim slaughtered animals. The Kohanim never slaughtered, says the Zohar. Because the Kohen is very kind. It says Aaron is very kind. Moshe is a Levi. It's very tough. He's number 80. Aaron is number 83. He's very kind. It says Hashem said, at least Moshe wants to spend you something. You see, the Nile helps you. You know, you are what we call in America toughy. It says if you get a hit, the Nile is like a hit. When Aaron is going to hit the Nile, it's like padding. Because when Aaron will do something, it's the punishment, so-called, it's almost to punish somebody. He padded the person, he padded the person. If Moshe wanted to punish somebody, he killed him. Says the Zohar, excuse me, you remember? Last week, Moshe killed the Egyptian. Says the Zohar, Moshe should be made a major sin. Moshe should not have killed him. This is why Moshe went to exile. And he was away in Cush and then in Yitro's house. This is because Moshe should never have killed the Egyptian. He said, this is kind method, just to kill a person. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to sacrifice. Says Hashem tells Moshe, you know, you go tell power, listen, we're going to sacrifice. Sacrifice means to pray. We're going to pray. And we're not going to Israel. We don't need Israel. Israel is needed because that's the place the praise goes up. You don't go to Israel because I want to have an apartment in Iraq. I go to Israel because I want to go to Kotel. Because I want to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem tells Moshe, I'm not afraid to tell Pharaoh that I'm leaving. Pharaoh says, where are you going? He says, listen, we're going to the desert to pray. We're going to pray. That's the reason why for 3 days, maybe another time I will talk about it. But the purpose is not going out of Egypt. The purpose is to go pray. And the Ramban says, the Zohar says, there's no other purpose, says the Ramban, in creation besides the mouth that we have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kari says, no, after such a lecture, you know, says the Noah did not pray for the sinners. It says, comes Moshe at Makat Tzvardea and Makat Arov and Barad. When Paul comes and says, please, can you get rid of this? Moshe is going to pray to Hashem with all his strength. Because Moshe others, because in the time before he was here on the universe, he did not pray for the sinners. Says now, with all his effort, even if he's going to raise his own hand and pray to him, please stop this hail. I don't want hail anymore. Says Moshe, you want to go out? He says, no, but I have mercy on them. So therefore, Moshe later, Pashat B'Shalach, he will pray, and then Moshe will pray after the Egel, Moshe will pray after the Meraglim, Moshe will continue praying, but sometimes he doesn't pray. Says the Midrash, when Hashem told Moshe, after Moshe hit the rock, in Parashat Chukat, Hashem said to Moshe, you're not going to Israel. The Midrash says, okay, Moshe said, okay. And the Midrash Hashem said, why don't you pray? He's not praying. He's not praying, he's not going to go. The job that we have on this world is to pray, but to pray for the redemption by the real Mashiach that we're going to have. He says, Moshe did not pray for Israel. He said, why did you pray for Israel? He says, now you get the message. He's going to start praying. He's going to start praying not only for Israel, he's going to start praying for the Goyim, for those murderers, for the Egyptians, since he got the message that Noah did not pray for the sinners. So you ought to pray for everybody. And you ought to pray for redemption. So Dari, this is what the purpose of the parasha. It's not a history to tell you what happened. It's not a history to tell you what happened at me, I'm standing by. It's just a message for us that you constantly have to stand and pray, but for Hashem's sake, not for our sake. And this is a guarantee that no tragedy can happen to even a baby in the basket, in the box, on the Nile. Nothing can happen as long as you know that this baby tells the neshama that the neshama is from Hashem and can be the Mashiach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that says it's a guarantee nothing will happen to him. And this is the power of Miriam, that's the power of Yocheved, and this is the power that Hashem expects from Moshe. But again, it's not Moshe's fault at all. As Moshe has this kind of a gene that runs in the system that he got from Noah, says Rabbeinu Mochayim, Moshe didn't pray. If he would have prayed to Hashem, please, I don't want to start it, he would not have started. He started because he never prayed. He never prayed because Noach didn't pray. Now he also is praying for Paro, and he's begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop the Makot, and says he gets the message. So The whole idea on this world is to pay off.